Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling. Brennan Mintz filling in today for Mitch Fortner. We do have a show today. Thought we weren't going to, but K-State baseball wiped out because of the weather. So we'll get you set for the first four game tonight between K-State and Wake. You can catch pregame coverage starting at 7. The tip-off at 8:10. Scheduled tip time tonight between the Cats and Danny Manning's Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Today on the show, Cole Manbeck, a little different time. We had to maneuver it around his daddy schedule. So at 5:25, Cole Manbeck will join the show. We've got Keegan Lowe at 4:25 from the Winston-Salem Journal. He covers Wake Forest. Obviously, we'll get a little feel for what the Demon Deacons are like heading into this game. We'll discuss what's at stake tonight for Bruce Weber coming up at 5:10. And at 4:40, I debut a new segment idea that I have that I'm very excited for. It's called Haters and Ballers. So get ready for that.
Yeah, you debut it today, but when is it going to be able to make a comeback if K-State were to lose tonight? Are we talking about it waiting until football season?
Maybe. I think it's pretty adaptable. I think you could just adapt it to like anything, more arbitrary things, not just who's going to win a game. Like something happens, who's on one side, who's on the other.
Okay.
Haters and ballers.
Okay.
That segment coming up for you at 4:40. To open things up here, and by the way, as always, you can call us 537-1350 or tweet the show at the game KMAN if you have questions or comments. This is typically supposed to be the day that feels like Christmas, right? The start of the NCAA tournament, your team's in it, in particular if your team's in it. That's my favorite analogy. Like, the best sports day of the year is, to me, always has been the NCAA tournament opening rounds. That Thursday, Friday, man, nothing beats it. But what happens if you're playing in it on Tuesday in the first four? It's much different. This has so much different of a feel to it. I mean, I am looking forward to watching the game tonight. I'm undecided. I'm on the fence if you're going to ask me in the debate of are you actually in the tournament if you lose a play-in game. My answer to that would be I don't care enough to really take one side of the equation. But what I do know is it's just got a different weird feel to it with K-State playing today.
Yeah, and maybe some of that is because it's been a few years where we're in different places and different – different pieces of our lives, I guess, from where we were when K-State was last in the tournament. But it is a weird feel. I mean, you feel like...
Well, that should tell you something. You're in a different place in your life from the last time you watched K-State game.
I guess, I would look at it that way. I'm 20, about to be 24 right now, so I was 21 the last time K-State was in it, and it's a little bit different. I wasn't hosting this show back at the time.
That's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is, hey, it's been a little while. This is why people are frustrated with the program.
I mean, I'm excited for it because I do think that K-State has a pretty decent chance to win. And if you do, then there's no doubt that you're in the tournaments. And I know that there will be some people that kind of jump on the K-State bandwagon at that point and say, well, these teams that win in the first four, generally they fare pretty well moving forward because they do not have that really long layoff that they have to get back in sync from. So there would be some people that would pick K-State over Cincinnati on Friday. So I'm excited for that. But I just fall back to the idea, well, if K-State loses this game, particularly if it's not in very pretty fashion, if they lose by double digits, then I think that most of the fan base would not really look at it like an NCAA tournament appearance, and we would embark on that very interesting offseason that we have anticipated for the last couple of months.
Well, based on historical context, I'm glad you brought that up because I understand it's not the same and, as we said, does not have the same excitement level that a normal tournament game would, but you do have a 25% chance, basically, of being a team that's in the round of 32 starting today. So maybe 25%, you look at it and say, well, that's not very much. But really, all things considered, if you are team number where's the cutoff line at auto bids and at large
48,
spots?
48, I think.
What, 38.
I was going to say, I think it's 38. 30, if you're team 38, the fact that you have a 25% chance sitting here today based on what we know historically about playing in first four games to go to the round of 32, that should be somewhat exciting. I mean, you get to the round of 32, you're just one win away from the Sweet 16. Now, that potentially could be against UCLA in this bracket. I mean, that seems like a really, really tough ask of K-State. But simply, I think all things considered with what this team was, picked ninth in the Big 12, if you're going to be sitting in that type of a position, that should excite you and I think at least be somewhat of an accomplishment for this group and what this team is.
Yeah, I mean, and just because of the way the schedule falls, if K-State were to win this game, since they would be playing on Friday instead of Thursday, by that point you would have had half of the first round done with, so you would literally be talking about a situation where you're one of, you know, 46 or whatever it is, 48 teams left in the tournament instead of 64. So you'd start to feel a little better about yourself. You'd be just one step away from being really relevant in this tournament, but it's just not quite the same feel, because I'm just looking at it this way. When K-State has been in the tournament in the past, I've spent an awful lot of time looking at who they would potentially face in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight if they were to get that far. And with this setup for K-State, I've been focused almost exclusively on beating Wake Forest, and then maybe we can start to look at Cincinnati. There hasn't been any of that, well, what about UCLA or what about Kentucky or something like that down the road.
If the opening round tournament games are like Christmas, what holiday is playing in the first four?
President's Day.
President's
that,
Day?
That's the one that I came up with. I was going to break that out earlier. But
because,
yeah,
like, there's a chance that you get off work, and there's a chance that you don't, depending on what your profession is.
Right, and there's a chance that you don't get your mail delivered that day or something like that, which would make you mad if you're waiting for something on Amazon. I think we're digging into analogy way too far.
I actually like that quite a bit. Like, President's Day, it's just kind of a, like, okay.
Yeah,
it's here. I mean, there's a chance this could be kind of good. There's a chance it won't be. I think that fits. That's better than anything I was going to come up with. I was like, I don't know, is it like going to your grandparents' house or something and, like, you don't want to? I don't – or like a distant relative's house and you don't want to? I don't know if you're kid.
I love my family,
I'm viewing
John.
The analogy through the – well, I do too. And I'm viewing the analogy as though you're like a little immature, like, 6 or 7 year old kid, you know, because they're the ones that really love. I mean, Christmas Day is still awesome,
right?
But they're the ones that really love Christmas,
right,
Day. So if you're talking about being a little impatient kid, I'm sure there were times when impatient John didn't want to go somewhere, and you just had to. But it still was a holiday, so there still is some good to it. That's about the best I can do as far as the analogy. That would have been a great Twitter question. Maybe I'll still float it out there and see what kind of responses that we can get. Because now I'm proud of myself for. Coming up with that.
I will say I don't have a better analogy for that, but I'm going to kind of sound boring going back to the original basis of the question and not the Christmas analogy here, but it does kind of feel weird for me being in the first four as well, because, I mean, for one, this sounds rather trivial, but filling out your bracket, K-State doesn't even have their own line to work with here, so that's kind of what we're talking with.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that, I mean, you have that whole week, if you're playing on Thursday or Friday, just anticipation leading up to that.
Yep.
And then more than once today, I just kind of thought to myself, like, oh, yeah, we have a game tonight.
We've had 48 hours of knowing that K-State is actually in the tournament.
Yeah, not even 48 hours at this exact moment, really.
Right.
It's
Everything has been moving at rocket speed since we found out at 5:30 or so on Sunday that things came out. So you're right. I mean, it really hasn't totally been 48 hours, and that is some of it, too, letting the anticipation build when you are building up to those Thursday-Friday games. I mean, every year it seems like, you know, when K-State hasn't been involved in the first four, it does come up on you quick, and you're just like, I guess I'm watching the games tonight. I mean, I want the tournament to start, but this just doesn't feel quite right. It doesn't feel quite real. I mean, I just read an article, I forget if it was Sporting News or whoever it was that posted it, but it was just blasting the first four as the worst event in, you know, major sports, because it takes away from just how good the NCAA tournament is. I mean, I would disagree from it. I would disagree with the notion that it takes away from what the tournament is. If you go to like 96, then I think it starts to take away from it. But just adding the play-in games, I'm okay with. It's just like an appetizer to the tournament. It's like you're starving, you're really hungry. Here's an analogy. You're not getting the steak. I mean, you're just getting like a little salad. That's what this is.
I liked it when it was 65 because I felt like that 16 seed play-in game was kind of like, you know, in the Olympics when they have like the first round of archery before the opening ceremony actually takes place. It's kind of like that. It gives you a little taste of something without it actually being something that's going to impact the tournament in any significant way.
So kind of like Olympic qualifying, saying.
Yeah, I mean, they had it right when they were at 65. And
I mean,
and
I don't have
just about money.
I don't have
point.
A fundamental problem with 68 in the first four. I mean, I mean, you could argue, okay, it helps K-State because it gets them in a tournament this year, maybe or maybe not. That changes whether K-State's playing in Dayton or playing in the NIT. But at the same time, I don't really have a problem with it. It's just kind of, all right, it's there. No big deal. Move on.
But we'll have Cole Manbeck on at 5:25 to talk about it. At 5:10, we are going to debate what is at stake tonight for Bruce Weber, because they are playing in the tournament instead of the NIT, and that does make a difference, I'm sure, in the eyes to some. But what, you know, ultimately is going to matter as far as that is concerned. At 4:25, we're going to talk with Keegan Lowe from the Winston-Salem Journal as well on the flavor here of Wake Forest. I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of time here talking Wake Forest and, like, breaking down the ins and outs of it. I know we gave you somewhat of a quick scouting report on them earlier. Basically, very good offensively, not very good defensively. John Collins inside is a beast. He was the runner-up for ACC Player of the Year. He's a pretty springy big who is really active, doesn't shoot it from the outside, just scores a lot at the rim. He's bouncing around everywhere if you see highlights of him. That's the gist of what they are. They won, I think it was 4 of their last 5 to get to the tournament. They were in a similar position as K-State, sitting at 15-12 and 6-9 in the ACC, and it looked like they were probably going to be on the outside looking in. They rallied, including beating Louisville, and that got them just in enough to play K-State in this play-in game. But right, do you have any real significant thought on Wake Forest other than it seems to me like two pretty evenly matched teams, and as you'd expect with two teams on the bubble, basically flip a coin. That's really the way that I feel about this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that I would add in there is that one way that I heard this game described that I think is very, very true is that Wake Forest probably has the best player on either of the two teams. And then I feel like
there's no probably about that.
Well, yeah, and then I feel like K-State probably has like 2, 3, and 4. And the question is having 2, 3, and 4 as the best players on the floor, is that going to be enough to overcome the guy that's not only number one, but number one by a wide margin?
And you can say that about, I think, a lot of the games that K-State's played this year, and sometimes they won, sometimes they didn't. I mean, when K-State played Baylor, they may not have had 1 or 2. I mean, it might be Jonathan Motley, Manu LeConte as 1 and 2 there, and then you're talking about everything else, but K-State's managed to win 2 of the 3 games there. So,
and it's also interesting you mentioned Baylor, because I heard DJ Johnson the other day describe it as kind of like playing Baylor. It's, I mean, they Wake Forest starts and stops with John Collins. Baylor has Jonathan Motley. I mean, it's kind of the same idea. They work from one very, very dominant big man out.
Right,
so,
and if you listen to Wildcat
Insider,
makes sense. Yeah, if you listen to Wildcat Insider, you heard that audio yesterday on the show. Cole Manbeck at 5:25. We'll have Keegan Lowe next from the Winston-Salem Journal. How can you slow down John Collins if you can? That's next on the game.
Get in the game.
Ready, set, mug.